daf is Mi'ila daf Yud Tes in the fifth parak of Maseches Mi'ila. We are holding on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, I believe, at the bottom. So we are at, we keep making drashos, Timol Mol Mikol Makom, that Mi'ila is more expansive than we may have otherwise thought. So we derive some halachos of Mi'ila from Truma. So the Gemara just continues in the citation of a Braisa, last line of the page, Imachet Ha'amur B'Truma, right, because we compared Mi'ila to Truma, because they both have the term Chet associated with it. So we're questioning whether all of the halachos by one apply to the other. This comparison was made three or four lines into the page in Daf Yud Chesam and Beis, where the Gemara said b'shliach shasu tamalomar v'chata nemar chet b'truma v'nemar chet b'meila. So we learn that just like chet ha'amur b'truma has a set of rules, so too the chet ha'amur b'meila will have that same set of rules. And I can go through all those rules again. So ima chet ha'amur Truma ad she yatzu min hakodesh l'chol. So if you're really going to compare Mi'ila to Truma, so by Truma it's only a violation where you're going to have to pay the keren v'chomesh if you've taken the Truma min hakodesh l'chol. You've used the Truma for a mundane purpose, min hakodesh l'chodesh. So how do I know by Mi'ila that even if you take that which was kodesh and use it for a different kodesh purpose, not l'chol, not for something purely mundane, but even for a different kodesh purpose, kagon lokach kines Zavim. Let's say you take Hekdish and you use it to purchase Kine Zavim, Vikine Zavos, Vikine Yoldos, the sets of birds. This is a good introduction for us from Sechas Kinim, which is coming up next week. The sets of birds of the Chatas Nola that you're going to need to use for if a person is a Zav or a person is a Zava, a woman is a Yoledes, Vishakal Shiklo, a person, let's say, uses it to give his Machsa Shekel, Vehevi Chatosu Vyashamo, he uses it to bring a Karbon Chatos or Karbon Asham, Mina Hegdish, that you use Hekdish money to do this, to do all of these other things that are Kodesh. Kivan Shahotzi Ma'al Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds, as soon as you spend that money, you have violated Mi'ila, even though you're spending it on other Kodesh things. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheyizor Kadam. Rabbi Yehuda says, not right away when you spend the money, but you still violate Mi'ila. It's just that you're going to violate Mi'ila only once you get Hana from it. And it's not getting Hana from it when you are buying the various Karbanos. The Hana comes when you do the Zrikas Hadam on the various Karbanos, because at that point you're getting your kapara, so that kapara is going to be your hana'a. But either way, bein the Rabbi Yehuda, bein the Rabbi Shimon, they both hold that there is a mi'ila violation when you take the hegdish and you misappropriate it by using it for other hegdish, not even using it for chulin. So minayin, where are we going to learn that from? Where are we going to learn that element of mi'ila? Can't come from truma, because by truma it's only when you take the truma and use it for a mundane purpose, use it for chulin. So tamalom. So it sounds familiar. Timol Mal Mikol Makom. That's why it says Timol Mal. It's all inclusive. Mikol Makom. If you look at Rashi on the top or the Mefarish, Ad Sheyetze Min HaKodesh L'Chol. So we said by Truma, the halacha is that it's only a full violation where you have to pay the Keren V'Chomesh when it was Yotze from Kodesh to Chol. Lefi Shekshe Ochlas HaTruma Hu Motzia L'Chulin. That when you eat Truma, that is a mundane purpose. That is being Motzi the Truma to Chulin. Minayin HaMotzi MiKodesh L'Chol. So how am I going to know? The Gemara was asking that when you take something Kodesh and use it for other Kodesh, Kagon, Shalakach Mimos Hegdish, Vikonamehen Kine Zavim Vikine Yoldos, O Shishakalmehen Shiklo, Shuchayev Lishkol, Litrumas Halishcha, the Machsa Shekel Chiv that you have to give to the Trumas Halishcha, O Shehevi Chatasu Vyashamomen Hegdish, Tahainu Mikodesh to Kodesh. All of these things are just examples that the Gemara gives of Kodesh l'Kodesh, v'kivin shehevi la'azara ma'al divrei Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds, as soon as you bring him to the Azara, you violated Mi'ila, even before Zrika. D'kasavar demandi m'chayiv chatas v'asham, li'olam l'chayiv v'achriyuso, then why is it that it's at the point of bringing it into the Azara? Rabbi Yehuda, we understand. Rabbi Yehuda says you only violate Mi'ila when you're Zarek Nadam, because that's your Hana. Zrika Sadam is your Kapara, that's your Hana. That makes a lot of sense. Why does Rabbi Shimon think that these Karbanos, as soon as you bring them into the Azara, it's a violation of Mi'ila? What happens when you bring them into the Azara? So he says, because he holds that someone who's Chayiv, Chatos, or Nasham is always Chayiv Ba'achriyuso. If anything happens to that animal, he's going to have to bring another one in its place Ad sheyivienu la'azara, until he brings it into the azara. V'kivin sheyiviu nifter me'achriyuso. Once he brings it into the azara, even prior to any zrikas adam, he's pater me'achriyuso. He's not responsible for anything that happens to it. So af hainami demotzi mekodesh lekodesh kivin sheyiviu la'azara yatzi yidei chavaso yidei achrayus uma'al. That's when his achrayus goes away, and that's when he's going to violate mila. It's actually somewhat of a surprising chiddush by Rashi. I would think that that bringing into the azara should not be the critical time, because where's his kapara? Doesn't he have to still get a kapara? He's chayv achat, he's chayv anasham. So I'm not sure, I didn't get a chance to really look into the sugya. I just see the Gilyan Hashas points to Rashi in Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi over there says the same thing, that when you bring it to the Azara, so then you your achrayas for it is no longer. I'm not really sure why that's the case, that the achrayas should no longer be there. Once you bring it to the Azara, you haven't done anything. You haven't gotten your kapara, and you're chayv achat as anasham. So I'm not really sure, but that's the svara, at least, behind the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that it's when you bring it to the azara, it's not at the time of zrikas adam, it's at the time of the bringing it to the azara. Now the Rambam, the Rambam writes the Rambam's Meila Perek Dalet Halacha Hey. The Rambam writes that if a person designates a chatas for eating chelev, let's say, and he brings it, he brings that korban chatas for eating dam. Let's say he did two averas. He ate chelev and he ate dam. So he designates the chatas for his avera of eating chelev, and then he decides to bring the chatas for the avera of eating dam. So the Rambam says he doesn't get a kapara, and because he doesn't get a kapara, lefichach lo ma'al. Therefore, he hasn't violated Me'ila. If he designates money for a chatas chelev, and then he uses that money to buy a chatas dam, so if he did that b'shogeg, by accident, didn't realize that this was the money that he had designated for a chatas chelev, that he now used to buy a chatas for eating dam, so then he gets a kapara, and therefore the Rambam again uses the lashon, kiper leficha'ch ma'al. He gets a kapara, and therefore it's Me'ila. But if he did it b'mezid, then he's low keeper, lefichach lo ma'al. He doesn't get a kapara, and therefore there's no me'ila. So you see a very clear equation that the Rambam's making, that whenever you're going to get kapara for doing the wrong thing, that's when it's going to be a violation of me'ila. When you're not going to get kapara, it's not going to be a violation of me'ila, very much like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda over here. Rabbi Yehuda says, where does the me'ila happen? The me'ila happens when you get kapara at the zrika, because that's your hana'a. Because the Mishnah points out that what the Rambam seems to be trying to tell us, though, is really a din that appears in a Braisa Maseches Krisus on Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. When he said lo ma'al, it means that when with doing that Maisa, one has not violated Me'ila. The Gemara relates Kapara to Me'ila, and the Gemara makes Kapara dependent on Me'ila, whereas the Rambam seems to do the opposite. Meaning, the Rambam says that how do I know if you violated Me'ila or not? It depends if you got kapara from your karban. If you were nischaper by bringing the karban, then you violated Nisra Me'ila. If you weren't nischaper, you don't violate Nisra Me'ila. If you look at that Bryce and Chris and Daf Chav Zayin, it seems like it says the opposite. And that seems to be the source of the Rambam. The Bryce over there says, Yachalo yatsa b'karban atzmo, b'behema shehifrish la'atzmo, afilu mina kala ala kala, o mina chamura ala chamura, shekedim hifrish behema ala chelev. Here's the case. You're mafrish behema for chelev, vivi al adam, and you bring that behema for the Yisr of dam, or al adam vivi al chelev, share lo ma'al velo kiper. You didn't violate Me'ila, and therefore there's no kapara. Aval yotze b'mo'ol shehifresh la'atzmo minakala al-kala minachamura al-chamura minachamura al-kala minakala al-chamura shekenim hifresh la'atzmo mo'os. But if there's money al-achelev that you designated for the Yisra of eating chelev, and ve'ivian al-adam, and you bring that money use that money to buy a carbon for dam, or al-dam ve'alavian al-chelev shahari mo'al v'kiper. So there is Me'ila and kapara, tamal omer that's why it tells me, no, there's not going to be a kapara, the carbon has to be l'shem l'chet. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? So the Gemara says, Tirgum Rav Shmuel Bar Simi Kamed Rav Papa, that it means to say that since you're not able to violate Me'ila by bringing that carbon for another Aveira, that's why it's not going to be a Kapara. And because of that, the Hakrav is not considered a violation of the designation of that carbon, but by money, since if you were to change it from its original designation, it would be a violation of Me'ila, therefore it's going to be a Kapara, meaning that it's able to be changed from its original designation, Memela, that's going to be a kapara. So the Gemara seems to say the exact opposite. The Gemara is tola the din kapara in the din meila. It's not tola the din meila in the din kapara. The Gemara seems to be saying that if you're ma'al mischaper, and if you're not ma'al, you're not mischaper. Not like the Rambam says, that if you're mischaper, you're ma'al, and if you're not mischaper, you're not ma'al. It seems to reverse the cause and effect in the Gemara. So that's a bit of a major difficulty in the Rambam. So the Briska Rav explains that the din of the Rambam and the din of the Gemara are actually two separate inyanim, they're two separate dinim. If we're coming to be done in regards to the din of kapara, a person brings a chatas chelev l'shem chatas dam, a person brings a chatas that was originally designated for the isra of achilas chelev, and he tries to use it for a different isra of achilas dam, so if we're trying to be done, whether you get kapara or not, so that's definitely talui on the yitzias hakodesh l'chulin, meaning if the kodesh went out to chulin and it lost its status of a chatas chelev, so mainly you can now bring it for dam and you can get your kapara with it because it's no longer a chatas chelev. But if the hegdish doesn't go out to chulin, it doesn't lose its hegdish status, and it remains a chatas chelev, so then it's going to be pashut that you're not going to be able to be mischaper with it for the yisra of achilas dam. It's still a chatas chelev. So it turned out that the din of me'ila and yitzia l'chulin is what determines kapara or not. Me'ila means that you're being motziat l'chulin. So if you're able to be motziat l'chulin, so which means you're able to violate me'ila on it, mainly you're going to be able to get a kapara with it for the other purpose. And that's what the Gemara in Krisus is talking about. The Gemara in Krisus, where it says kapara is going to depend on me'ila, is because me'ila determines whether the animal loses its original designation and now becomes chulin. If it does, you can then use it for another kapara. That's the Gemara in Krisus. However, when we're trying to figure out the Isser Me'ila, whether it's subject to Me'ila or not, so then the din is going to be Lahapach. The Isser Me'ila is going to be Tali on the Kapara. If you're Mischaper, you're Mal. If you're not Mischaper, you're not Mal. Meaning, that's our Sugya, where we have Machlokas Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda. When you're Mishana Mikodesh Lekodesh, you take money of Hegdish to buy Karbanos. When do you violate the Isser of Me'ila? So Reb Shimon holds, once you're Hotzi, Ma'al. So Rashi said it means when you bring it to the Azara. Pashupshat sounds like once you spend it to buy the other animal, you violate Mila. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only violate Mila once you zorik the dam. The Rambam obviously paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that once you zorik the dam, you get your kapara, you violate Mila. When you're Mishanim, Mikodesh Lekodesh, you only violate Mila when you zorik the dam. So if you're Mafresh Achatas al Achelev, and you bring it al Hadam, which is a Shinoi from Kodesh Lekodesh, the din Chiyuv Mila is going to be totally in the kapara. If there is kapara, and Zrikas Adam, then you're going to be in violation of Me'ila. If there's no Kapara and Zrikas Adam, then there's no violation of Me'ila. So the Rambam, that's what the Rambam's talking about, that the Isra of Me'ila is Tali in the Kapara, like the Shita of Rabbi Huda. So even though we pask in that Kedusha, by Kedusha Saguf, there's an Isra Me'ila, even when the item doesn't go out to Chulin, and you chayev a carbon Me'ila, the Rambam himself paskins that if you give your friend a behema that's Kadosh by Kedusha Saguf, you're right away Moel, it's a violation of Me'ila. And b'mezid, there's a chi of Malkus and a chi of Keren, even though the Hegdish is not Yotzi l'chulin, but that's only by other Me'ilos, where the chi of Me'ila is on taking it, being Motzi at l'chulin. But when you're Mafresh a carbon on Chelev and you bring it on Dam, since the Me'ila is Tali on the Kapara, and the Kapara is Tali on it being Yotzi l'chulin, so when you do it b'mezid, b'kedush saguf, where it's not Yotzi l'chulin, it turns out that there's no Kapara in the Zrikas Adam, and therefore there's not going to be a chi of Me'ila. So that's what the Rambam says. When you're makriv a behema l'shem chet, l'shem a different chet, it's lo kiper and therefore lo ma'al. If you're mishana ma'os b'shogeg, since it is kiper, it is ma'al. Whereas b'mezid, since it's lo kiper, it's not ma'al. So the Rambam is saying a different din than the Gemara was saying. The Briska Rav just leaves off with a kasha. He doesn't know why the Rambam mentions this din dafka in the fourth parak of Hilchos Me'ila. He should have brought it together with the din of being mishana mikodesh. The Kodesh, and to explain that this Mi'ilah is only B'shogeg, where the Hekdesh is Yotzei L'chul and the Me'ilah is Kiper. So that's a Tzaruch Iyun. If the Ram is really describing a different din, why does he put it by the dinim of Maseches Krisus and not by the dinim that you would expect it to be by Maseches Mi'ilah? Okay, Vaiter in the Gemara. Now we're at the two dots. Yeah, so Amar Mar. Nefesh, Echel Yachid Vechel Nasi Vechel Meshuach B'mashma. So we had a drasha that we quoted in yesterday's Gemara that we said Nefesh comes to include everybody, that everybody is subject to this Isra of Me'ilah. Even if you're a Nasi, you can violate Me'ilah and be Chayiv for the Me'ilah. A Meshuach, everybody could be in violation of Me'ilah. So says Gemara, Sheyachel Mai Pshita Nefesh Ksiv. Why would I have a Havamina that special people are not subject to Me'ilah? Where would that Havamina derived from that they would be special? If you look at the Mefarish, Yochel Mai Kolomer, Ma Vesal Kedaita Chlamai Nasi Yom Meshuach Mimiila Pshita Dekulin Chayav De Nefesh Ksev Nefesh Mashma Bein Yochel Bein Nasi Yom Meshuach. It would be obvious that everyone's included. It says Nefesh. Nefesh means everybody. Why would I think that they're special? So says the Gemara, Mal Detema Amar Achmana Vasher Yitein Mimenu Alzar Vahai Lav Zarhu Toim Shuv Begavei. I might have thought that since there's an Isser to use the Shemen HaMishcha to, on a Zar, to actually rub the Shemen HaMishcha on the skin of a Zar, and I might have thought that that is very much related to the Isser, to the Isser of Me'ilah, that whoever is considered a Zar for the Shemen HaMishcha is going to be subject to the Isser of Me'ilah, is going to be Moel B'Shemen HaMishcha, but whoever is not considered a Zar for the Shemen HaMishcha, meaning people who are supposed to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, like the Nasi, like the Mashuach, those people are anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, Mela, they're not included in the Yisur of Me'ilah B'Shemen HaMishcha. Now the question is how to read the Gemara, and therefore they wouldn't be included in any Mi'ilah. That's probably the Havaminas, that since they're not included in the Mi'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha, they shouldn't be included in any Mi'ilah. Kamash Malan, so that's Machlokas, what's the Kamash Malan? Kamash Malan, that even the Nasi and the Mashuach are included in other Mi'ilos, even though they're not included in the Mi'ilah of the Shemen HaMishcha? Or Kamash Malan, that the Nasi and the Mashuach are included even in Mi'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha? Yes, they're allowed to be anointed with it, but that's it. If they ever get Hana from it otherwise, then they're going to be included in the Mi'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. That some of the Rishonim say that Vadai, they still are included in Me'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha. And the Chidushei Aradali writes that there's no Me'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha for these people. And the Gemara means to say that we would have thought the Malachim and Kohanim are not included in other Me'ilos, just like they're not included in the Me'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha. And we would learn other Me'ilos from the Me'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha. Kamash Malan, therefore comes to tell me that no, they're not included in Me'ilah of Shemen HaMishcha, but they are included in other Me'ilos. The Radal writes that this issue, whether there's an Isra Me'ilah B'Shemen HaMishcha, is totally in a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in Maseches Krisus Davavam Beis. The Gemara over there records a machlokas, if you're Sach B'Shemen HaMishcha for Malachim, for Kohanim, that Rabbi Meir says Chayiv and Rabbi Yehuda says Pater. And we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, so Hu Adin L'Gabe Me'ilah, that the Yisod is that Kohanim and Malachim are not considered zarim in regards to to the Shemen HaMishcha. Now the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Ches writes bepshitus that there is an Isra Me'ilah b'Shemen HaMishcha, and the Tshuvas Chikrei Lev in Arachai Mechelik Beis in Kuf Yutes, he also discusses whether there's an Isra Me'ilah Shemen HaMishcha, and he says that from the fact that we find that there's a halach of Mashicha by a Melech, you see there must not be an Isra Me'ilah by Shemen HaMishcha, because even if the Melech is not a Zar, he's and therefore not including the Isra of Sicha, but why shouldn't his Mashicha be at least an Isra of Me'ilah? Meaning there are two separate Isurim over here. There's the Isra of Sicha b'Shemen HaMishcha, and then there's a general violation of Me'ilah from that which is Kodesh. So granted, you want to say he's not a Zar because he doesn't have an Isra of Sicha, but what about the Isra of Me'ilah? So then, the Chikri Lev says it's difficult to say that because the mashmalos of our Gemara is, and the mashmalos of the whole Gemara in Krisus is that there is Me'ilah b'Shemen HaMishcha overall, and that's why the Gemara says that it's aser to be Moshech Malchei Yisrael because of the Isser of Me'ilah. But okay, so this is a major discussion. Whether in general there is Me'ilah b'Shemen HaMishcha, it's only an Isser of Sicha b'shemen hamishcha. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now, so we learned yesterday that we compare Mi'ila, the Torah links Mi'ila to three different halachas, to Sota, to Avodah Zarah, and to Truma. That's what we learned on Yudches Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, right? The Gemara said on the bottom, Ki simol mal ein mal el shinui, v'cheinu omer, ish ish ki siste ishto mal obo mal, that's Sota, v'omer v'yimelu belokei avoseyem, v'yazunu achrei abalim, that's Avodah Zarah, and to Truma as well, the Gemara said, v'chata, chet chet, from Truma, so we link Mi'ila with all three of those averos. So the Gemara now elaborates on each of those three connections. So Va'akshar Rachmana L'Sota, we link Mi'ila to Sota, Ula Avodas Kochavim, Ula Truma, and to Avodah Zarah, and to Truma. L'Sota, what's the link to Sota? The Afal Gav D'Lo Pagam that we use Sota as a model in the sense that a woman can become a Sota even if she was not nifgemes by her act of adultery. She there was no physical pagam that was made on her, meaning that's the definition of Sota almost. The Rashi, the Mefarish over here, about six lines before it gets wide, he writes, Ve'echi dami akshi de Sota, di ki echi de Sota afagav de lo pagma ma'al, de Sota pagum of yomedasi. One of the qualifications of a sota, she needs to already be physically pagum. Deina noheges ella bibu'ula. Sota is only knowing on a woman who's already a bu'ula. Kidachsiv mi baladei isheich, that she slept with someone in addition to having slept with her husband. Varmir shakadma bilas abal leboel. It has to be that she had first slept with her husband prior to sleeping with the boel. Vahinu bu'ula. So it means that it has to be a bu'ula. So even though she's not pagum, she's not becoming pagum, she's already what she is before she becomes a sota. So behagdish nami, when it comes to violating Mi'ila, even if you're not being pogame the item, like for example, you take the taba'as biyada, she takes a ring of hagdish and puts it on her hands, where the ring is exactly the same, nothing happened to the ring, it's still ma'ala, it's still going to be a violation of Mi'ila. So that's what we learn from Sota. Okay, good, what do we learn from the comparison to Avodah Zarah? Ki akshar rachmana l'avodas kochavim, the ad de is bashinoi gabe hegdish nami ad de biko bekardum. By Avodah Zarah, one only violates Avodah Zarah by definition when he's mishana. What's he mishana? He's mishana his own self, his own identity. The Mefarish points out shemishana atzmo mishchina lavodas kochavim. He's changed uniforms. He now no longer is loyal to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, he expresses loyalty to Avodah Zarah. So hegdish also, it has to be that you're mishana, that you take the acts of Hagdish and you use it for Atzei Chulin. You are Mishana it from Melechas Kodesh to Melechas Chol. What this axe works for, what it's used for, what its identity is, has now been changed from Melechas Kodesh to Melechas Chol. That is a violation of Mi'ila. So that's what we get out of the connection to Avodah Zarah. Shita takes out the next two words, Ve'ivka Mbu Pagum. Aksharachmanu l'truma, what do we get from the connection to truma? So, ma truma ki yochal prat l'mazik. So just like by truma, when do you pay the keren v'chomesh for eating truma? That's only if you got some hana'ah from eating the truma. Not if you were stam mazik truma. If you just damage truma, you just go and destroy it. That, you don't have to pay the extra chomesh. Gabe hegdish nami, kol debar achilu ki mazik le'patr. So by hegdish also, if there's a food item of hegdish, and you just go and destroy it, but you don't eat it, you don't get an actual hana'ah from it, so then you're going to be potter from Mi'ila. That's what we get from the connection to Truma. So Tosfos asks, the Gemara's mashma, that it's only by a Dvar Achila that there's a Patur of being Mazik. Sounds like if it's not a food item, then when you're mazik it would be subject to Mi'ila. It's only something, right, the Gemara Dafka expresses that. Dafka says, Kol Dvar Achila ki mazik le pater. Anything that's a food item, if you're mazik it, you're pater. Whereas the Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama does not seem to say that. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tesam Beis, so the Mishnah over there says that the Chiyuv Nezikin is only by Nechasim She'ein Behen Mi'ila. There is no Chiyuv Nezikin on Nechasim that are subject to Mi'ila. Nechasim She'esh Behen Mi'ila, if you're mazik them, you're not going to be Chayiv Mishum Nezikin. And it's talking about a person who's mazik Kachim, that there is an Isser Mi'ila on that Kachim. He's not chayev on being mazik them. So it sounds like mazik is pater by all kodesh, by all types of nuchasim. It doesn't have to dafka be a food item. A mazik, that's not called getting hana. Mi'ila is an isra of getting hana from hagdish. And so when you're just mazik hagdish, that's not a na. You just stam destroyed it. So why does our gemara seem to limit it dafka to food items? So Tosos calls the name of the re that the gemara comes to teach us a chiddush that not only is a mazik gomur pater and you're not chayiv b'tashlume mi'ila. Even if you eat hagdish in a way that it's damaging to yourself, for instance, a person eats an achila gasa of hagdish. So that type of thing, you might say, well, it's achila, I ate it, I consumed it via my mouth. No, you're still going to be pater, because the achila gasa is not called a hana'a. And the same is true by a zar who eats shemen shel truma, that he's going to be pater if he eats it by achila gasa. So that's the answer that Tosfos gives. The Rashba in Baba Kama gives a different answer. He says the Gemara uses this lashon, agav truma. By truma, it's only shayach by dvar meichel. By truma, it's only shayach by something that you could eat. But by hegdash ein achinami, by truma, when do we say if you're mazik truma that you're not going to be chayiv? That's talking about food, because truma by definition is only on foodstuffs. If something is not food, wood that grows in Eretz Yisrael is not chayiv in truma. There's no din of truma by something that's not food. So that's why we use the term dvar meichel. But really, by hegdash, obviously, it would apply to any sort of hegdash. It doesn't dafka have to be food. Tosos in Maseches Gittin on Daf Mem Teso Med Aleph writes that which the Gemara in Bab Metzia Daf Tzadi Tes implies that a person, an Adam Amazik Hegdish, has to pay the Keren, that's only Mid Rabbanan. Midor Raisi is Pata Legamri. So Tosos asks, wait a second, the whole Pator of Mazik Hegdish is learned from Truma. By Truma, you do have to pay the Keren. You're only Pata from the Chomesh. Meaning, if you're Mazik Truma, you have to pay the Keren, you have to pay for the Truma that you cost. You just don't have to pay the additional fifth. So why by Hegdish should it be any different? So Tosos says that by Truma, yeah, you have to pay the Keren, that's learned from a different din, because you're a Ganav. You stole the truma that belongs to a Kohen. The Kohen's an individual, he's a person, he owns this, it's his money, and you've destroyed it. So that's what you have to pay for. But in terms of the ritual issue of paying the extra chomesh, that you don't have to pay, because that's for an Isra Dafka of a Zar eating truma, that you didn't do. But by Hegdish, it's not Shaykh stealing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, pay Hashem back. There's not a din in stealing from a Bailim. It's all a ritual issue. So therefore, by the Hegdish, it could be you're not going to have to pay at all. That it's going to be totally pater from paying. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim says that all Yisurim Shabbatorah, you only get Malkus when you eat them derech achilasam. But if you eat, let's say, chelev chai, that's not roi l'achila, you're going to be pater. So the Minchas Chinuch wonders, why does the Gemara have to bring a limud to Maseches Yuma, ki yochal, to pater someone who eats an achila gasa from truma? We should learn it from all Yisurim Shabbatorah. I mean, why does the Gemara says, if we eat truma by achila gasa, our din, the din that our Gemara is learning, that by truma dafka, if you at least the way Tosos understands our din, right? What did our Gemara say? That if you're just mazik truma, you're not going to be chayiv. So we said, what do you mean? If you're just mazik truma, you're not going to be chayiv. This or mazik kodesh, you're not going to be chayiv. This applies to even things that are not a barachila. So Tosos said that even if it's a barachila and you ate it, but it was an achila gasa, it was eating in a mazik way, not in another way, it's not going to be called achilas truma. So Minchas Chinuch just wonders, why do I need a drasha to teach me this? It should be like any other achila gasa in Kalatoru Kula, where achila gasa is not called achila. That achila gasa is considered mazik. So Minchas Chinuch is mitarets based on a comment of the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh in Simenai and Vav writes that if someone eats in Yom Kippur, you're chayiv even when you eat shalok kederach achila. Why? I thought shalok kederach achila is not called achila at all. Because by the Isra of achila in Yom Kippur, it never says in the Torah lo sochal. It says lo sauna, that the din is a din of afflicting yourself. It's not a din of an Isra achila. So therefore, you're chayiv even when your achila is shalok kederach achila. Let's say you're fed in an unusual manner. But if you're eating achila gasa, you're potter, because then it's mazik, and that's even worse than shalok kederach achila. That's how the Shagas Aryeh says. That again, that when it comes to achila in Yom Kippur, if you eat it in an unusual way, shalok kederach achila, it's still going to be chayiv, because it's not an Isra achila per se. But when you eat in a way that's mazik yourself in achila gasa, then you're going to be potter. That's even worse than shalok. That's even a lower level than shalok adarech achila. So it would turn out the same might be true, says the Minchas Chinuch by Truman Kachim, that since we potter someone who's mazik by Truman Kachim, so it's muchach that only a mazik which is lower than shalok adarech achila is potter. But how do I know that if we truma or hegdish shalok adarech achila that you chayiv l'shalim? And even though in the truma, so that's where I need a drasha. So even though by truma it says lashon achil, it says kiyochal, so it sounds like the miyut is by shalok adarech achila because it says kiyochal, unlike by Yom Kippur. Yeah, but it says by truma it says kiyochal in the positive. It doesn't say lo sochal, that a zar is not allowed to eat it. It says a kohen does eat it, and we learn from there that a zar shouldn't eat it. So it never has an isra achila per se. There is a general discussion in general by Isurei Achila, by Mitzvos of Achila. Mishnah Lamelech raises the issue of a very general discussion, very important discussion. Mishnah Lamelech in the fifth paragraph of Isurei Torah discusses this din of Shalok Kederech Achila, that it's not called Achila when you eat something in an unusual manner. Is that only a din in Averos, that you don't get the punishment for the Avera if you eat a Dvar Avera Shalok Kederech Achila? Or is that a din in Mitzvos as well? What if you eat Matzah and Lel Pesach Shalok Kederech Achila? You eat a kazayis on Sukkot, in the Sukkah, Shalok Kederech Achila. Do we say you're not Yotzi Yechiyuv? Or do we say no, this whole miyut of Shalok Kederech Achila is only by Yisurim, by Lavim. But by Mitzvos, there's no miyut of Shalok Kederech Achila. So the Shaar HaMelech proves that the miyut is only by Yisurim and Lavim, not by Mitzvos Asei, and therefore it could be by Truma, where the Torah says, V'ish Ki Yochal Kodesh, which is not even B'lashon Tzivoy. It's a din mitzvah to eat Truma properly. It could be it's not when never mimayit shalok kederech achila. So by truma and kachim there will be no p'tur of shalok kederech achila, only mazik which is lower than shalok kederech achila. Right, so that's the Minchas Chinuch's point, that why is it that by that we would need any sort of drasha to tell me what the din would be by truma, by kachim, shalok kederech achila? Shouldn't it be included in shalok kederech achila of kol ha'Torah kula? But if you say like this Mishnah Lamelech, that shalok kederech achila is only when there's an explicit iser in the Torah, but by mitzvos there is no din of shalok kederech achila, well, truma fundamentally is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for a kohen to eat truma. So fundamentally, as a mitzvah, it would even include shalok kederech achila. What's excluded when it comes to truma? Mazik. When you eat an achila gasa that's so damaging that it's just mazik the person. We've pointed out several times, there's Tosfos in a couple of places in Shas that says that there are different types of achila gasa. Not every achila gasa is mazik a person. It would have to be an achila gasa that's really where a person is stuffed and they mamish can't handle it anymore and they eat anyway, which, why would someone do that? People do that all the time. People do it anyway, for whatever reasons. It's almost like a reflex in 21st century America, that if there's food that you have to eat. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, two dots. Ketzad, nasna katla. So we said, what's an example of using hegdish without being pogim it at all? Like you take a ring or a necklace of hegdish and you put it on. Gold, what are you going to be pogim gold? Gold stays valuable always. Somele Rav Kamer Rav Zidu, Dava Lavbar Rav Kumehu, are you serious? You think gold doesn't become pogum? Gold doesn't lose its value? Vadava de kalse de nun lehechazal. Whatever happened to all the gold that the daughter-in-law of Nun had? Nun gave his daughter, apparently this person named Nun, as in Yoshua bin Nun, but a different Nun. I guess the name was in use for a little bit longer. It doesn't seem to be in use anymore. But if this guy Nun gave his daughter-in-law a whole bunch of gold, and it depreciated significantly. So how can you say gold doesn't depreciate? So the Mefarish says that they actually weighed it, and it weighed less. It mamish depreciated. So Amalei Dilma Dava Deramian Kalasechu. So he says, wow, you think this is like the gold that you give to your daughter-in-law? And your daughter-in-law is also known to mistreat her gold very badly. But if a woman treats her jewelry properly, it's not going to depreciate. If this is for people who you're right. Einachinami, there are some people that completely destroy the, they bang it around and they scrape it and like the little things. Okay, good. So then it's going to depreciate. But otherwise, people who treat their jewelry properly, it's not going to depreciate. Fine. I don't know why he had to make it personal, like your daughter-in-law. And furthermore, even if you treat your jewelry properly, it's not going to immediately become pagum, but over an extended period of time, it still might become more pagum. So that's a little bit different, an extended period of time versus immediately. When we're talking in our Mishnah, we're saying that there's no immediate me'ila because you didn't depreciate it when you got hana from it right away. But over an extended period of time, it may lose some of its value. Hanena min achatas, the Mishnah then went on to discuss someone who gets hana'a from a chatas, from a carbon chatas, when it's alive, we said it's lo ma'al atshe yivkom, when it's dead, as soon as he gets hana'a, he's violating me'ila. So michti, ibi behema tamima, hainu kol shel zav. If we're talking about a behema tamima, a live chatos that does not have a mum, then it should be the same as a koshel zav. Why? Because if it's a live chatos that does not have a mum, there's only one thing you're allowed to do with it, and that is bring it on the mizbeach as a carbon. So if you have to bring it on the mizbeach as a carbon anyway, even if it does depreciate from a technical standpoint, meaning its valuation would not be the same, but it didn't really depreciate because it's going to still be used for whatever it was meant to be used for. Meaning there's no depreciation klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be brought in the Mizbeach as is. So no one's going to get any less value out of it. You're going to get the full value out of it by bringing it on the Mizbeach, which is what you would have gotten if it was fat, skinny, or anywhere in between. So it should be like a kol shel zav, where it doesn't lose anything. So Rav Papa b'balas mum askinan. Now we must be talking about a chatas that's a balas mum. If it's a balas mum, then it's going to be eaten by people. Then you're going to be poda. It's only to be niftes and to be used. So that's what makes it different. It's not going to be a royal kapara anymore. From a kapara perspective, it doesn't make a difference if it's skinny or fat. But if it's not any more going to be used for kapara, then it does make a difference. Okay, Mishnah Yitesim Beis. Let's say a person gets a chatzi pruta's worth of hana'a, and he's pogem a chatzi pruta's worth. Oshenena b'shav pruta b'davar echad, or maybe he gets hana v'shav pruta from the hegdish on one side of it, but he's pogim v'shav pruta somewhere else. Meaning the hana and the pegima don't come from the same place. So even though at the end of the day he got a shav pruta's worth of hana and he was pogim v'shav pruta, but it wasn't the same. The pegam didn't give him the hana. So lo mal atchiyana v'shav pruta v'yivka v'shav pruta b'davar echad. Now then it's not going to be me'ila until both happens at the same time. So The Sfasemis raises the following question. What if he was Pogim Shavapruta and he was Nene way more than Shavapruta? So what do you pay? Do you pay Kol Hana'a? Because once, is it like a Tanai? That in order to, that the real Isra Me'ila is on the Hana'a. But it's a Tanai in being able to pay for the Me'ila and being Chayiv to pay for the Me'ila is that it has to at least be Pogim Shavapruta as well. Or do you say no, that you're only going to pay, that the Chi of Me'ila is only to pay for that Hana'a that you got through Pegima? But if you weren't pogame more than a shavapruta, then you don't pay more than a shavapruta. It's only the combination, the crossover of pegima and hana'a, that's mechayiv paying. So only where you actually crossed over, pegima and hana'a, that you'd be mechayiv paying. So Asemis raises that kasha, he's not sure. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, Ein mo'alach ha'mo'al b'mukdashin el behem of klisharis b'lvad. In general, by hektish items, once something has been, once someone has violated me'ila by it, it's now yotzei l'chulin, and therefore there's no further me'ila that could be violated on it, with two exceptions. A behema and a klisharis, you can violate me'ila repeatedly on those items. Ketzad, rachav, lagabi behema b'chaver, rachav, they take turns riding on an animal of hektish, kulan malu, so everyone violates me'ila. Shasa b'koshel zav b'chaver v'shasa, they take turns drinking from the koshel zav belongs to hektish, kulan malu, they all violate me'ila. Talash minachatzes b'chaver v'talash, each one keeps taking more hair or wool off of an animal that's designated as a chatas, kulan malu, everyone violates me'ila. Rebbe Omer called davar she'en lo pidyon yesh b'mol achramol. Anything that can't be niftes, that can't be redeemed, and therefore is not going to ever lose its kedusha, so then it's going to be subject to me'ila after me'ila. The Gemara is going to ask that Rebbe saying the same thing as the Tanakama. That's what Tanakama said, that a behem and a klisharis, they can't be niftes, and that's why you can repeatedly violate me'ila. It never goes l'chulin when you use it the first time. So says the Gemara first, money masnisa Rebbe Nechemiah. It seems that the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe Nechemiah. D'tanya, Ein mo'al achar mo'al ela b'behema b'lvad. The Braisa says the Tanakhama holds that there's only mo'al achar mo'al by behema, whereas Rabbi Nechemya Omer, behema v'kli sharis, that both behema and kli sharis can be subject to repeated me'ilos. So our Mishnah is obviously assuming like Rabbi Nechemya, because our Mishnah says that both kli sharis and behema could be subject to repeated me'ilos. My time at the Tanakhama, why would the Tanakhama say not kli sharis, that it's only by behema? So kasavar binyan ad behema ksiv, t'ksiv ve'el ha'asham. He says, because that's what the Pasuk was talking about. The Pasuk says ve'el ha'asham, so since it's only by inyan ad behema, so we assume that the din only applies to behema. Rabbi Nechemya, Amar lach, Rabbi Nechemya says, yeah, but it's a kalvachomer. Kalvachomer imacherim mevi l'kdushasan, hu atzma lo kol shekein. Think about what a kli sharis does. Kli sharis can even make things kadosh. Something placed in a kli sharis becomes kadosh. So if the behema has the ability to be subject to meila, so the kli sharis itself, a kosher zav, should for sure be kadosh. It's so kadosh that it should for sure have the kedusha that it retains moel achar moel, that you could still be subject to meila achar meila. Rebbe Yomar called davar she'ein lo pidyon. So Rebbe had said at the end of the Mishnah that anything that can't be poda, so then it's going to be subject to mi'ilah achar mi'ilah. So frankly, Gemara Hayna Tanakama, it's exactly what Tanakama said, that anything that if you use, you're not going to be able to bring it l'chulin, so then it's still going to be subject to mi'ilah after mi'ilah, to repeated mi'ilos. What's Rebbe saying different than Tanakama? Gemara says two answers. Answer number one, Amar Rava, Ika Benayu Eitzim. Now, if communion between Rabbi and Tanakama is what about wood that's designated for the Beis HaMikdash? Tetan Rabban Homer Harelai Eitzim Lo Yifchos Mishnei Gezirin. If a person says, I hereby designate wood, I own a forest, I designate wood for the Beis HaMikdash, he has to bring at least two blocks of wood. Rabbi Omer Eitzim Korban Hein Utun Melech Tun Tnufa. There's Rabbi Shita. That Eitzim is Mamish a Korban. You need to salt it like you would salt a Korban. You need to wave it like you'd wave a Korban. It's Mamish a Korban. Amar Rav El Divrei Rabbi Eitzim Tun Eitzim. Not only that, you even need wood to burn the wood. You need wood under the wood to burn the wood because you Mamish treat it like Korban. Vam Rav Papa El Divrei Rabbi Eitzim Tzrichen Kmitza. You need to take a Kmitza. It's like Korban Mincha that you take a Kometz from. Mamish, wood is Mamish a Korban. So if Rabbi understands that wood is mamash a korban, he holds that anything same about begam, like eitzim, would be subject to moel achar moel. So wood would also be subject to moel achar moel. That's the machlokes. Tanakama would not go that far about wood. That's what Rebbe's saying different than the Tanakama. So that's one answer. Rav Papa Amar Kachim Mizbeach Tamim, and Rav Papa said, no, the machlokes between Rebbe and Tanakama is a different machlokes. It's about Kachim Mizbeach Tamim, v'nasu bali mumin, v'avar v'shachtan. You have Kachim Mizbeach that do not have a mum, then they develop a mum where the halacha is you're supposed to be poda it, but instead you went and you shechted it. That's the machlokes. And indeed, we have a brayse that tells us about exactly this case. If you have kachim mizbech tmimin and they became bali mumin, va'avr v'shachted, then you shechted them. Rebbe Omer yikavru, v'chum mamu yipadu. Rebbe says you should bury them, and the chum say that you could redeem them. Apparently, chum say you don't need hamad v'aracha. So since the kedusha, their kedushas damim, they could be poda, and therefore. Therefore, it's not moel achar moel, meaning if they're subject to pidyon, there's not going to be moel achar moel, because they could be yotzei l'chulin. Whereas Rebbe would say, no, yikavru, they never lose their kedusha. Therefore, it is going to be subject to moel achar moel. That's why that might be enough gemina between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. Okay, Mitzvah, tomorrow on Shabbos, we'll pick up from the Mishnah on the bottom of the year. Oh, yeah.